Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is an emergency show to catch up with the fast-breaking news on July 5th, 2018. And we're joined by our media maven, the guy who's always scanning the horizon for things to know, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How you doing, D.R.?
Well, in the words of Pharrell Williams, I'm so happy.
So tell me, dear, I will punt the ball to you. Why are you smiling? I can see you smiling broadly on the Skype camera here. You look like a happy guy.
Well, our long international nightmare is over as EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has finally hit the road after over a year and a half of just scandal and sleaze and swamp, basically. It's time. Yeah. It's basically, you know, to use the old Al Gore line from 26 years ago, what time is it? It is time for him to go.
That's right. Yeah, so just to state the facts first, somewhere 3 or 4 this afternoon, our treasonous president put up a tweet. Our tweeting treasonous president put up a tweet that said he was accepting the resignation of one Scott Pruitt at the EPA, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the announcement.
Yes.
And as a follow-on, there will be a guy, the second in command, who we will get to in a little bit, named Andrew Wheeler, right? He will now take the helm come Monday morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's the bald facts of it, right? Scott Pruitt just got drained out of the swamp. And one immediate question, DR, is why now? Right? Mm-hmm. After all of the endless drip, drip, drip of ridiculousness, why do you think that Mr. Trump, I'll honor him with the name Mr., our president decided that it was time for Scott to go?
Mm-hmm.
To say,
well,
literally, you're fired.
Well, the Washington Post reports that White House Chief of Staff John Kelly had been for months saying that Pruitt had to go, and I guess at some point finally prevailed upon Trump to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that we also should give credit to two women whose activism in their own ways basically put pressure on Trump to finally sever ties with Pruitt. One is Kristen Mink, who's the teacher in Maryland who confronted Pruitt when he was at lunch on Monday and basically urged him to resign before the swamp of scandal did him in and condemned him for his behavior, both policy based and in terms of his personal behavior and his abuse of the office, and also someone who I struggle to say something complimentary about, but in this case she deserves the compliment, which is Fox News personality Laura Ingraham, who has been for the past couple of weeks quite vociferous about the need for Trump to sever ties with Pruitt. And because we know that Trump is an aficionado of Fox News, I'm sure that Laura Ingraham's, you know, pleading with him to get rid of Pruitt had to have had some kind of an impact on him.
Well, I guess the other one that I heard, of course, this is all parroting what I've seen on the TV over the last few hours, but this guy named Bill Shine, who used to be at Fox and was accused of all kinds of sexual misconduct and condoning all that stuff, he's now the White House Communications Director, and it's curious that this coincidence, the day he shows up and starts work, all of a sudden Scott Pruitt's gone. But I think the most satisfying explanation is what you just gave. The guy follows, Trump follows Fox News. And when all of a sudden the news is not about Trump, it's about somebody else making trouble and getting more press than Trump is, then he gets mad and fires him. And it's probably as simple as that.
Exactly.
Anyway, divining what and why Trump does something is a fool's errand, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to doesn't get us very far. But I guess the next question is, after you've asked why did it happen now, maybe you don't have a great satisfying answer, but the real question is, what is next for the EPA? What do climate hawks do? How do we react to this? What is the deal with this new guy coming in? Tell me, what do you know, DR? This is all happening quickly. What do we know about the new guy who was recently approved by the Senate to be the assistant deputy administrator? So basically the guy who's now going to be in charge. What's his name? What's his background? And what do we know about him?
His name's Andy Wheeler. He's a former coal lobbyist. He's a former chief of staff to the notorious Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe. The Associated Press notes that he could serve for more than a year in an acting capacity, but a Senate vote would have to be required if he's nominated to lead the agency permanently. As you might imagine, a notoriously far-right figure, apparently, according to Media Matters, an aficionado of the notorious racist Milo Yiannopoulos. And it's going to be interesting to see if there is going to be similar resistance to Wheeler, because Wheeler is just as much of a denier as Pruitt. He's just less flamboyant about it. But you do wonder if the same sort of grassroots activism that has now sprung up surrounding the Supreme Court will also manifest itself in terms of putting pressure on the Senate not to confirm anybody who is a denier, mm-hmm. and to somehow force Trump to select a non-denier to head the EPA.
Right. And my feeling is that this new guy, Mr. Wheeler, is at least as committed to the fossil fuel agenda as Pruitt was, but unfortunately, he's probably smarter and more savvy about how to get things through. So at some level, I think Wheeler's going to be more dangerous than Pruitt, because Pruitt is just a dilettante. I mean, I don't think he really knew what he was doing. And the word is that all of the things he's tried to overturn, all the Obama regulations, all that was done prematurely and is now subject to court challenge and probably would get thrown over. But this new guy is much more savvy, and that's a more dangerous thing, right? Would you agree with that?
Definitely.
And if this guy hangs around now, I would imagine that he's going to play out his full period before they have to appoint someone else, right? I guess there's, Federal Vacancy Act or something, like if you resign, then your deputy can be there for a year or something. Up to a year, and then they're going to have to put a new guy in. That raises all kinds of questions, because on the one hand, Wheeler, the new bad guy we have to oppose, has a shelf life, right? He's going to be out. And you're right, there's a lot of parallels to the Supreme Court thing. I mean, how do we stop him, stop the new guy and force the new guy to be a new person, to be more realistic, right?
And it'll be interesting, another angle of this that I don't think has been brought up, and we discussed this group last week, but if you think about it, you know, the curious silence of the Americans for Carbon Dividends outfit regarding Pruitt, whose actions and attitudes directly contravene what they profess to support, which is action on climate change. Will Americans for Carbon Dividends stand up and say that the new EPA administrator must not be a denier? Will they use whatever influence they claim to have to basically say, you know, that it's a bad idea for Trump to put somebody who opposes the action they profess to support in charge of the EPA? It's going to be this is a time for choosing, if you will, for them.
It's a moment of truth. It's a gut test for these guys. If they really mean, as you say, if this sort of conservative thing movement wants to be taken realistically, then they need to support an EPA administrator who's realistic.
Yeah, you hear all this talk in the Beltway newspapers, Politico and what have you, about the so-called eco-right. Well, now it's the time for the so-called eco-right to stand up and say you cannot put a guy like Wheeler or anybody who thinks like him in charge of the EPA permanently. You need to go into a different direction.
So I just realized one of the things I wanted to do. So this is, dear listener, we're all a little scattered because of the import of this discussion about Mr. Pruitt, the former EPA administrator. But I think it's worth noting the nature and the tone of this guy's resignation letter. Not so much to kick Scott Pruitt on his way out the door, but to give you a sense of a more general sense of the climate denial opposition people that want, that would be the kind of place that Scott Pruitt comes from. And of course, Dave Roberts of Vox put up a tweet basically calling out how it is extremely groveling, this letter, not only groveling in this sort of a dear leader, Supreme Leader Kim, North Korean kind of thing, but a lot of not so subtle religious references, right? And this is from Scott Pruitt, the guy that everybody on the right loves. So let me just read this letter. It's only three paragraphs, or at least what I have is the three paragraphs. It goes, so this is from Scott Pruitt to Trump. He says, Mr. President, it has been an honor to serve you in the cabinet as administrator of the EPA. Truly, your confidence in me has blessed me personally and enabled me to advance your agenda beyond what anyone anticipated at the beginning of your administration. Your courage, steadfastness and resolute commitment to get results for the American people, both with regard to improved environmental outcomes as well as historical regulatory reform, is in fact occurring at an unprecedented pace. And I thank you for the opportunity to serve you and the American people in helping achieve those ends. That is why it is hard for me to advise you. I am stepping down as administrator of the EPA effective as of July 6th. It is extremely difficult for me to cease serving you in this role. First, because I count it a blessing to be serving you in any capacity, but also because of the transformative work that is occurring. However, the unrelenting attacks on me personally, my family, are unprecedented and have taken a sizable toll on all of us. So I get this. Here's the last paragraph. My desire in service to you has always been to bless you as you make important decisions for the American people. I believe you are serving as president today because of God's providence. I believe that same providence brought me into your service. I pray, as I have served you, that I have blessed you and enabled you to effectively lead the American people. Thank you, Mr. President, for the honor of serving you, and I wish you Godspeed in all you put your hand to. I mean, that is a resignation of an American cabinet secretary, not some guy pleading for his life in a North Korean show trial or anything. That's an embarrassing letter for so many religious references and this servile attitude to Donald Trump. It's just unbelievable. But I read it because I think somehow it's not that far from sort of the common belief among these people, and the idea that somehow God wants us to extract all the fossil fuels. Whoa. Tell me, DR. Talk me back down.
I have two responses. Number one, what a kiss ass. And number two, it's interesting with all the religious talk in the resignation letter, you have to wonder if part of the thing that got him into trouble was some of the more hardcore evangelicals were upset about all the news about him trying to get his wife a job, because don't the really hardcore evangelicals oppose women working?
Maybe.
Don't they think that Marilyn Pruitt should be staying at home and baking cookies? Don't they believe that? You have to think that was a part of the opposition here.
She should be wearing a red dress with a little white bonnet on and keeping an eye on keeping the bread cooking in the kitchen. Well, I think that one of the salient things, again, this is a comment I heard on TV, so I'll amplify it, is that this line in the middle paragraph that said, however, so this is Pruitt, and I'm quoting the resignation letter, however, the unrelenting attacks on me personally, my family, are unprecedented and have taken a sizable toll on all of us. I mean, at some level, that speaks to what you were saying before about the woman, Mink. I forget, what was her first name?
Kristen Mink. Yeah.
But I mean, all the people who have been just, shouting and opposing what Pruitt has been doing, both on the sort of venal scandal side, but I'm not even so worried. The venal scandal is nothing compared to the devastation the guy is trying to wreak on environmental regulations. But it does speak to the fact that when the American people oppose something and speak out, it works, right? And we got to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. The voice of the people, it's a very powerful thing. And let's go back to that letter about this sort of gushing letter. There is an interesting letter where he talks about courage, steadfastness, and resolute commitment. There has to be an equal amount of courage, steadfastness, and resolute commitment against Wheeler and against all the other manifestations of this administration.
Well, absolutely. I think let's just put our thinking hats on. DR, we've got this new guy coming in who is, I think, equally committed to a fossil fuel agenda, wants all the same things that Scott Pruitt wants, but is maybe more savvy. So how are we going to do it? We have to oppose this guy. Presumably, this new guy is not going to be so scandal-ridden and such an obvious, easy target, right? He's not going to be out shopping for softening lotion at the local hotel or anything. This new guy is going to know what he's doing, and so how do we oppose the continuing efforts to subvert environmental progress, right? So we got to, how will we do that? That's cards and letters? Can you call your congressman, make it an issue?
Well, I think the one thing that can be done is to encourage more leaking, because you have to know that guys this arrogant, they're treating their subordinates and their coworkers like absolute crap. And we saw how all those leaks led to the end of Pruitt. And I bet you there's just going to be just as much nasty behavior out of Wheeler. And the more of that nasty behavior is leaked, that'll right. undermine him, too.
Because it's not like he's going into a friendly agency, right? All the people who still want to save the planet are still working at EPA. Well, I think that's true. I think that, a public relations campaign of calling your members of Congress to tell them that you want to oppose the policies this guy is likely to put in place is a good thing to do. But then we roll forward to the Supreme Court template, right? We certainly don't. If Trump is silly enough to nominate a new permanent head of the EPA, it needs to be postponed until after the election. Right. And in any case,
Merrick Garland rule.
And then if we can get a new Senate in place, then you can have a more realistic appraisal of who the new permanent head of the EPA would be. Right.
Exactly. I mean, the people have to stand. I mean, this whole resignation of Pruitt proves once again, power concedes nothing without a demand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You saw the demand and power finally conceded.
I think Trump is blinking more and more. I have this feeling he may be trying to talk big, but he blinked on the immigration stuff. He blinked here. All right. Well, look, DR, let's take a win for today. We got our fight laid out ahead of us to keep Mr. Acting Administrator Wheeler in line over the next few months. But let's just take satisfaction in the fact that Scott Pruitt, the venal scoundrel trying to do all that bad stuff, is finally gone. Ding dong, the witch is dead, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So look, folks, what we'll do is we'll put up links to some of the stuff that we talked about. We'll try and stretch them out. It's all happening in real time, but some links you can look at. You can find this podcast on the Facebook page and in the MCAN blog. It's massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find us on all the usual podcast distribution outlets. So we'll end the way we always end, by saying that because, boy, I can't even remember it. I read it every week. I can't barely. I don't have the script in front of me, DR. The short answer is that we
resist.
We insist on an equitable, fair and equitable long-term price on carbon. That's what we got to do, right, DR? All right. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy holiday week, DR, to talk. This is exciting news. We'll talk again soon. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Very cool.